Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is Seth Green, and you are listening to Somewhere in Vegas with Mark, and I am so hot, I would desperately like a glass of water. Please, please, give me some water.
This is Cindy Preston, and I'm with Mark on Somewhere in Vegas.
Hi, this is Melissa Peterman from CMT's The Singing Bee and the television show Reba, and I have to tell you, I just have to get it off my chest, I love Somewhere in Vegas with Mark.
Hi there. This is Faith Roscoe from General Hospital. You're listening to Mark on Somewhere in Vegas. And you better watch out. We know how to find you if you're not listening.
Hi, this is Shannon Egan from Whippet. And I love Somewhere in Vegas with Mark.
Hey, this is Lee Allen Baker with Somewhere in Vegas. Talking with Mark with a Q.
This is Courtney Cronin. You're listening to Somewhere in Vegas with your host, Mark. And I would make sure to listen every week because he's a sure bet.
Hey, this is the Money Man, Eddie Money. I got two tickets to Paradise. And it's, you know what? It's Somewhere in Vegas. And what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Hi, this is Crystal Kale, and I love Somewhere in Vegas with Mark.
Hi, this is Terry Nunn from Berlin, and you're listening to Mark Somewhere in Vegas.
Hi, this is Miracle Lori from Joss Whedon's Dollhouse. There are three flowers in a vase, and I'm listening to Somewhere in Vegas with Mark.
Hi, this is Erin Hill, and you are listening to Mark on Blog Talk Radio and Somewhere in Vegas. Mark is a great guy.
Hi, this is Sean Pulaski. I'm still trying to figure out Mark Pico's sexuality, but I know you're listening to Somewhere Live in Vegas.
Here you go, Mark. I'm sorry. I thought you were she. I'm sorry. Get out of the tent. Let's get out of here.
Hey, this is Lance and Anna from Free Radio. And Anna?
And you're listening to Somewhere in Vegas.
Yes.
My favorite.
You know, that's usually what happens with me. I go to Vegas and I get lost, and so I end up somewhere in Vegas.
Somewhere in Vegas.
But I just don't know where it is.
Not quite sure.
Yeah, word.
Get ready. It's going to be hot. It's in Vegas. Check out Mark. Be there or be square.
Welcome, everybody, to Somewhere in Vegas here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm Mark the Q. I'm your host. I'm very privileged because I was actually went to see a movie called Hateful Eight a couple weeks ago, well, about a month ago. And it's really cool trailer came up called for the movie called Jane's Got a Gun. And it looks like a really awesome movie. I have one of the guys that's going to be in that movie coming on just momentarily. Really great guy. I want to give him a proper introduction before I get him on the line here. The guy has worked with several different really great actors. He's also going to be in Independence Day Resurgence coming up this summer. You may have seen him on Better Call Saul for a brief moment. Also in the movie Transcendence as well. I'm very privileged to have a very talented individual who not only acts but also is a musician as well and a very impressive has a pretty impressive comedy career as well. Sam Quinn is on with us right now. How you doing, Sam?
I'm great. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing great. Obviously, pretty busy a year for you. How has the past year been for you?
I cannot complain. It's been fantastic. It's been wonderful, and I, thank whoever is responsible. Hopefully, it's me. But I can't be more delighted.
Yeah, I mean, the Arizona space, I mean, it seems like there's a lot of stuff as of the past couple of years that have been shot down there, all the way from In Plain Sight to Better Call Saul, Breaking Bad, a lot of TV series down there right now. It's just kind of and Longmire, I believe, is also filmed in that area as well. That scene, I mean, tell me a little bit about the acting scene down there. Obviously, there's a lot of opportunities for you.
Yeah, so I think you said Arizona. I'm actually in New Mexico, but
right
next door. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't that familiar with the scene prior to a few years ago. I knew that stuff was going on there because I went to college in Santa Fe, but I just wasn't totally aware of the amount of work that was accumulating there. So I had moved to New Mexico sort of, haphazardly as sort of like a respite from my time in Chicago. I was working on a project, an original rock opera, and revising it, and I wanted to take it to New Mexico to revise the script and raise money and so forth. And while I was there, I just sort of saw in front of me all of these film trucks on the street all the time, and people were telling me there was a lot of work, and one thing led to the next, and then 2 months later, I had booked Jane Got a Gun, because it was 3 years ago when that filmed, and then I decided that I must, you know, maybe it needs to be a new chapter in New Mexico, so I went back to Chicago, grabbed all my junk, and moved it to New Mexico, and that's how it happened. It's just sort of fortuitous luck, you know?
Yeah, and for those of you who haven't seen the trailer yet, like I said, I saw the trailer when I was watching Hateful Eight. You know, it's a western movie, which is, you know, really interesting, especially considering Natalie Portman is playing in a western, which I don't think I've ever think that she would ever do, but it actually looks pretty cool. I mean, did you have to train a lot in terms of being a cowboy or, you know, kind of riding a horse? Or was that something that you already had kind of in your back pocket?
So full disclosure, funny story, I did not know how to ride a horse at all. I think I had maybe ridden once as a child, but I really had no clue. And the casting director asked, you know, after the first audition if I could ride a horse. And I just said yes, because I assumed, you know, that I could pick it up. So, of course, we did have training. We had about, I would say, probably 4 weeks of training, Western horseback riding, as well as, you know, gunplay, using the older Western guns. So luckily I had the training and I picked it up pretty easily, but no, I did not. I am not gun savvy and I did not know how to ride a horse.
What was the name of the horse that you rode in the movie?
Listo, L-I-S-T-O. Which I think means ready to go, you know, always ready, Listo.
I mean, that's the thing about casting directors asking you certain questions, you know, it's like, I remember, like, I would hear actors all the time say, you know, sometimes they'll ask you if you can play guitar, and then, you know, you don't know how to play guitar, but then you'll say yes because you want to get the part, and you'd learn that you're going to play the guitar, or you're going to play piano because if you get the role, then you're going to get the role, and they'll be able, you know, be able to at least mock it in terms of that as well. So I kind of interested to know why casting directors even just ask that question, because a lot of times your actor's going to lie, but it worked out in the end for you anyway. Speaking of guitars, I mean, you mentioned that you were doing a rock opera. You're actually in a band up in Chicago as well. Was music your first love, or was it acting?
No, it happens about the same time, but I think acting was first, definitely. I picked up music and guitar really because of my environment in high school. I went to a performing arts high school, and a lot of my close friends played instruments, and they said, you know, get off your ass and learn how to play this guitar and join this band with me, you know what I mean? So it was just kind of like, and I was like, okay, cool, and then that's how I got into it. It's definitely been a love. It's sort of a passion of mine, but acting is you know, been there longer.
So the situation was that they needed a guitar player, or was that, or did you decide, if I'm going to play an instrument, it's going to be a guitar?
I think what happened was actually, I had a guitar. My mom bought me a guitar when I was in seventh grade, and then I let it sit around because I took a few lessons and I just wasn't that into it at the moment. You know, I just didn't, you kind of really have to want to learn. And I wasn't at that point. So it was more like my freshman year in high school. So a few years later, one of my buddies who is a great songwriter had said, you know, maybe you should play this more and we could do something. And I ended up, I started playing the guitar more, but then I ended up playing bass in a band. And then I ended up playing keyboards in a band, because all my other friends, they had already been playing guitar. They were ahead of me by a few years and were better guitarists. So I was like, well, you know, I'll play some synth or bass. And then that's just kind of where it started. And then I became more serious with practicing and all of that. But so I guess it all kind of happened at once. I didn't actually play guitar in a band until I moved to Chicago, though.
So you play bass, guitar, and keyboards. Any other instruments do you know?
Oh, not that I know. I sing. I have a lot of vocal training from high school and college. Those are the main ones, and guitars, I'd say I use the most because it's just a great vehicle for songwriting.
It tends to be. It's between that and piano. Usually when I have a musician on, it's usually one or the other. Although I've heard some people like I think one of my guests the past couple weeks said that they've taken up the ukulele as of late. But
ukulele,
I mean, it's great to be able to do that as well. I mean, you mentioned that you graduated from University of Mexico.
It was it's gone through a shift. When I went there, it was called the College of Santa Fe, and now it's the Santa Fe Santa Fe University of Art and Design. Essentially, it's the same school. It just went through a title change, but it's just a small liberal arts school in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
And then what brought you up to Chicago?
A few things. My acting teacher in high school was a Chicago actor. He had worked at, Steppenwolf and The Goodman, all the big theaters in Chicago back when sort of John Malkovich and Gary Sinise were in the scene. He was part of that sort of similar scene. And he really talked it up, and he felt like I would like it. He mentioned it. So I started, so that was when it sort of got on my radar. And then a few other friends also mentioned I should go check it out. So one summer in high school, I just went to go look, and it was the worst weather ever. the first two times that I had been to Chicago, one time was for college auditions, and I was super sick and had a terrible fever and only got out of the hotel once to go to a museum. And then the next time, it was just rainy and dreary the whole time. But the second time, I still saw enough of Chicago and the cool that it had to offer that I was kind of sold. So I just decided, why not try something different? A lot of my friends had gone to New York and L.A. and were having a real hard time, and it was just sort of...
Family there? Did we lose you? Hello? Wow. We lost him. He'll be calling in momentarily. but interesting to say at least because, I mean, and I'll talk to him when he gets getting calls back in, but the idea of what Chicago is, I mean, Mason mentioned the Seven Wolf Theater. It's also the home of Second City and a lot of improv and a lot of comedy, and I'll have to talk to him a little about that when he calls back in. But, I'm interested to know a little bit about that as well. I want to say that Sam, like I said, has had a really butt-running career and butt-running career as well. Like I said, Albuquerque has been kind of growing in terms of films. Like I said, they've had a lot of TV series out there as well. So let's get Sam back on here. Are you there?
I am. I'm back.
Okay. Okay. It's interesting because I mentioned in your bio that you also did improv. I mean, that's basically Chicago is where Second City was as well too. I mean, it does have a rich history in terms of acting, really great actors actually as well. I mean, it was a pretty impressive move on there as well. And obviously, you said that you did music up there. You have a band up there.
Yeah, well, I did. I no longer. That was one of the unfortunate parts of moving from Chicago, is that I had to disband that group. It was the band started through the same rock opera that I had mentioned. I had put together a band to assist in workshopping this music for this rock opera. And then after we had done the workshop, we decided to continue playing together, and it just sort of became a band. I mean, we just stuck together and we're playing shows out all over Chicago. And we're together for, I want to say, a good 3 years while I was in Chicago. And it was a lot of fun.
Now, do you have a band down in Albuquerque, and are you still working that way?
I do. Yeah. When I moved, I kind of settled for a little while. I kind of had one foot out the door in Albuquerque. I wasn't sure if I was going to stick around for that long. And then once I kind of realized that I needed to stay there and, you know, use the market to my advantage and get some work under my belt, that's when I started to form another band. I actually have two bands currently in Albuquerque. One is actually named after the character in Slow Jeremiah, or in Jane Got a Gun. The band's name is Slow Jeremiah. And then another one that I just recently put together this year called Virtual Friday, which is sort of a more, it's like a dancey funk rock trio outfit.
Yeah. Now, Albuquerque is very interesting town in terms of like I said, where it is and where it's located and what's going on there as well. I mean, you know, obviously with two bands, you get to how often do you guys get to play down in the area?
I guess not as much as I want, but it's, you know, I've been there for almost three or a little over 3 years now, so I've been able to navigate the music scene fairly quickly, and people have been pretty generous and warm with, you know, inviting us to play shows and vice versa. So it's been pretty good, and there's, you know, there's venues in Santa Fe that are fun to play also. Where my band Slow Jeremiah is hoping to go on a small sort of regional tour at some point this year. I'm not sure exactly when, but we're thinking New Mexico and Arizona and Texas, maybe Colorado as well, and just knock out a dozen shows or something like that. So it's fun, you know, it keeps me happy, it keeps me occupied, it's something to distract me from auditions, you know, which is, I think, a really important thing to have as an actor. And it's a great creative outlet. You know, I have a blast doing it.
Now, how many guitars do you own?
You know, I actually pared down. I only own two guitars right now. I have one acoustic Martin Dreadnought, and then I have a Fender Telecaster that was given to me as a gift from another actor on when I was working on Transcendence, because my current electric guitar had some problems, and my buddy who I worked with knew that I was about to form this band and gave me this guitar, and I love it. It's not your straightforward Tele, you know. It has two humbucking pickups, which really give it this rockin', heavier sound that I love, and it's jet black. It's gorgeous. I'm in love with that guitar now.
Do you have names for your guitars?
I don't. You know, I don't know why it's never even occurred to me. I should. I do not have any names. I'll think about that now so that I have a good answer next time.
Yeah, because, I mean, I had so many female artists on the show that have guitars, and they don't name them. And then I think a couple weeks ago, somebody had said, oh, yeah, a girl said, yes, I did. I do have a name for my guitar. And it seems like every male one has a name for their guitar. So yeah.
Really, I want to come up with really normal, like, human names, like Willie or something. It's like my electric guitar Willie and my acoustic Francis or something.
Yeah, you'll have to brainstorm that.
I will.
Yeah. Now, let's talk a little bit about some of the work that you've done. Like you said, obviously James Got a Gun. I mean, you know, what was it like to work on the set, to be able to work with so many great actors on that set and kind of, you know, get the feel of working on a big time Hollywood picture?
It was a little overwhelming at first, just that sort of sense of, is this really happening? Because it was my first big, first big feature to work on right when I moved to New Mexico, because everything else in Chicago had been pretty much theater across the board, some film stuff here and there. But so, you know, I kind of had to hunker down and get into my happy zen place and really focus and say, you know, you got to bring it. And I think it paid off. You know, it felt really good after you kind of clear your head of all the negativity that can creep in, and then get in the zone. It felt good, you know, and everyone on the crew and cast were really positive and optimistic and, you know, encouraging the whole time. So I felt very comforted by that. You know, I didn't feel small, like a small sort of unknown actor guy that people are judging or anything like that. It was a really, really positive experience. You know, everyone kind of wants you to win. So that was what it was like.
Did you learn
and
a lot in terms,
you know,
in
far,
terms of
as far
you know,
as actors
but,
go?
Yeah.
Joel Edgerton and Natalie Portman and Ewan McGregor, they were all great too. Watching them was fantastic. I definitely learned a lot. They were all very, very humble and professional. Joel was all over the place as far as helping Gavin, the director, you know, jumping because he switched parts after things shifted with the original director. So he was really, really gung-ho to get this thing finished and, you know, see it reach its potential. So it was great watching him work.
Yeah, I was going to ask, did you learn a lot from the actors and the director in this film and, you know, in terms of, you know, work ethic and, you know, some of those little tricks that they do in terms of getting into a role?
Yeah, well, as far as the director, Gavin, I feel like had a whole lot on his plate because he stepped in after Lynn Ramsey had left within 2 days. You know, usually a director will have months and months, even years sometimes, of pre-production and sort of vision questing what they want the picture to be, you know, in their mind. And so for him to hop on board with someone else's vision and then turn it into his own, flying by the seat of his pants, was really, really unbelievable to watch. But he had everyone's help, you know. Like I said, Joel was there with him. Natalie was also a producer, so she was really helping find this tone, this new sort of tone that we were going for. Everyone really teamed up, and that was amazing to watch. And he kept his cool the whole time as well. You know, there was never any doubt in my mind that, you know, we were going to figure it out. And Ewan McGregor was just the epitome of a sweetheart. You know, his humility is really what I learned. It was amazing. You know, he was just so kind and generous on set, and it was a lesson in watching a celebrity be a really, really respectable human being. You know. And I didn't get to spend too much time with Natalie. We talked a few times, but she was, you know, she seemed very professional on set and also just a huge sweetie.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's great to be able to see that she had such a great role in this thing in terms of helping produce it and helping out on set as well. So it's great to be able to see her kind of step up. And I remember watching Natalie when she was, when she was a teenager, when she was in a movie called Beautiful Girls. And she was really young at that stage. So, I mean, she's,
sure, yeah.
I've seen her kind of grown up all the way straight through. And, it's great to be able to see so much success out of her, coming along. It's been about, 15, 20 years, 15 years.
I know. She's always been amazing. Even the professional was unbelievable, too. Yeah.
Now, kind of a little bit different tone when you were on Better Call Saul, I'm assuming. What was it like being on the set with that show?
Well, okay, so I had moved to New Mexico just after Breaking Bad had finished, and I was a huge Breaking Bad fan, so obviously I was very stoked for Better Call Saul to be there and possibly in a wheelhouse of what I could do and work on. And not to mention that, I also have been a huge fan of Mr. Show with Bob and David, Bob Odenkirk and David Cross. So I've been a Bob Odenkirk fan for quite a while, for several years. And so working with him, I was actually kind of surprised because I didn't realize when I had auditioned and then I booked a part that was actually different than the one that I auditioned for. And I got on and I was given my sides, my script the day of, and I didn't realize that Bob Odenkirk's character had a different name in the beginning of the story than Saul Goodman, that everyone knows him as. So I had no idea until about an hour before I go on set to shoot that I was going to be in the scene with him and working with him. So I kind of had to once again get my cool together and kind of, tether my excitement so that I didn't, ruin the experience for myself and everyone else. But once I did that, then it was great. And, he was also very kind and suggested a great comedy book for anyone who is interested in comedy and pursuing that. He suggested a great comedy book that I read called Poking a Dead Frog, which I recommend to anyone to read who's, into writing for TV or sketch or film or really whatever. It covers all the bases. But yeah, does that answer your question? I kind of went off there.
Yeah. It's great to be able to see that. Like, and he kind of gave you a little bit of push in terms of how, what to look out for and what to expect in terms of it, and give you that, give you some advice in terms of what to read and all that as well, in terms of being a better actor. So. It's great to be able to have, that kind of experience on set as well. And being on a show like that is kind of, even if it is just a small scene, it means a lot in terms of it as well. And, I hope you made a good impression on Bob. So I think you probably did. So it'll be interesting at least.
I do hope, yeah. I know it's always a strange feeling knowing that you're about to talk or interact with one of your heroes, it can get to you a little bit, and I always just kind of hope that A, I don't look like a fool and B, that they don't turn out to be, jerks. And I don't think either of those things happened.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. I mean, it's great to be able to see, a show like this. And I'm trying to remember his name. The guy that plays Sal's father on the show, McKean, I believe his name is.
I'm blanking on it. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Veteran actor, amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I can look it up real quick, but. I was actually at Sundance a year ago, and I was there with a talk when he was. It was right before Better Call Saul was going to be put on air, and he had mentioned, the fact that Breaking Bad would have never made it to to air. Michael McKean. If it was the 1990s, Breaking Bad would have never made it on air just because of the ratings. And now that there's so many outlets for content the threshold has dropped in terms of viewership. So so it was very interesting for him to say a little bit about that. So yeah, it was great to be able to see him, you know, right before it kind of, you know, he obviously didn't want to give you any spoilers about his character before it became being there, but it was really interesting to be able to listen to him talk a little bit about his craft, all that as well, and be able to work on set and do a serious role. I mean, it was interesting to say the least that there's a lot of comedians that really did transition over to Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. That, you know, they're known to be comedic roles, but they're doing dramatic roles in this in these series. It's just absolutely amazing to be able to see that too.
Totally, yeah. And I was actually listening to a podcast. I think it was Mark Maron's podcast, and Bob Odenkirk was on there, and he talks a lot about that because everyone kind of, you know, gets it in their brain that you're a comedian, you have to be doing comedy. That's your wheelhouse. You can't go beyond that. But I think at the end of the day, some of the best dramatic actors transition from comedy into that. You know, it's like, I think it's much harder to go from drama into comedy than comedy into drama, because most comedic actors can also cover drama, if that makes sense. I don't know. You know?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because, I mean, I think that, you know, comedy's a lot tougher than drama at times. You know, it's easier to be able to draw a person in for suffering than, you know, coming in through comedy, because you're not always going to hit the right note in terms of comedy.
Right.
But interesting to say the least again about that as well. Yeah, I mean, it's great.
You think of Robin Williams, you think of Jim Carrey, you know, there's so many out there, the list just goes on, that have proven themselves to be highly capable and great dramatic actors as well, you know.
Yeah, and I want to, before we sum up, I've got to mention, you know, obviously you have a very small role in a very big picture coming out this summer, Independence Day Resurgence, which, again, had a trailer, I think, on the Super Bowl, I think, as well. So, you know, I mean, you know, that's probably one of the biggest films that you probably have under your belt as well, even though, like I said, it's a little bit of a small role, but... you know, what was it like for you to be on set there and kind of, you know, get that feel of that? Because I'm pretty sure it was a little bit different feel than what you may have had on Jane's Got a Gun.
Sure, yeah. Well, I mean, Jane Got a Gun is a smaller cast. It was more of an indie feel. You know, of course, Independence Day, you know going into it that it's going to be... you know, $200 million budget. So everything's going to be moving fast. You know, time is money. Roland Emmerich, you know, who's done all of these huge epic films, is driving the horses. You know what I mean? So you just kind of, I felt like I just needed to be prepared, on my game, you know, no fooling around, just super professional, you know? And you know, there was a very comfortable energy, though. It was fast paced, definitely, but in between breaks, people weren't stiff. You know, people were joking around still and being amicable, you know, and it was delightful. It was great. It was really wonderful. Of course, it's, you know, I grew up with Independence Day, so it's pretty surreal to be a part of Independence Day 2, you know. I remember it when I was 10 watching it, so I couldn't be happier.
Any more projects coming up? I know you have a couple of things coming up. I think you have you're actually voicing in a cartoon, I believe, too. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, some of the other projects you have coming up?
Yeah, I have a few things. There's one is an improv show that if you, you know, if anyone's ever through Albuquerque, they should totally check out. It's with my improv troupe called The Arcade. And what we are attempting to do, we actually have our first show that unfortunately I'll be missing this week because I'm in L.A., but we have our first show of hopefully many where we improvise a 40-minute movie based on the audience's suggestion of a genre and a title for that movie. So that could be fun. And also, later this year, I'm going to be producing and acting in my first original short film that's sort of been in the works for a few years, and I finally feel like I have a little bit of time to actually produce it. So that should be starting to shoot. I think we're going to go into pre-production later in the spring and then shoot over the summer. And the working title for that is called Indiscretion. That may change as things do. And that'll probably end up online and through festival circuits. But I'm pretty excited about that. And those are the two big ones, I would say. And then, you know, auditioning like a maniac.
I have a couple of friends in Albuquerque. I cover a little bit of MMA, and Jackson's obviously the big gym down there too. So I'll have to, nudge some of my friends down at Jackson's to maybe stop by and watch some of your improv. So
that'd be great.
Social media. Are you on Twitter at all?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter, Instagram. My handle is GoodTonicSam, GoodTonicSam. And I have a Facebook actor page people can follow if they want, and a website.
Well, awesome to see that again. And I believe Jane's Got a Gun is currently right in limited release right now. Am I correct in saying that?
I'm not sure if it was in, like 2 weeks ago, in about 1,200 theaters around the U.S. I'm not sure what it's down to right now, but it's still in theaters. I know that.
Yeah, take a look and see where it is. So I don't think it had a major release. I think part of that deals with a couple of things that came out. Obviously, Deadpool may have pushed it out a little bit when it came out this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll get a couple more weeks and then maybe a couple more months. We'll see that in Redbox and on demand as well, so people get to see that. Independence Day is obviously going to be during July 4th weekend, so you can glimpse Sam there as well. Sam, it's an absolute pleasure. Hopefully, like I said, I really look forward to seeing how this year kind of progresses with you. Obviously, it's gone off to a great start, and like I said, Albuquerque's has been a growing market in terms of acting. So best of luck to you coming up, and have fun with some of these premieres, and then hopefully once you get this improv thing going, best luck with that.
Thank you so much, Mark. Yeah, it was a pleasure, and good luck with your show as well.
Oh, no problem at all, Sam, and talk to you soon.
All righty. Take care.
You too. Sam Quinn, everybody, you guys, check him out. I was looking around online. Very limited theaters have Jane Got a Gun still, but I'm pretty sure it'll come out on DVD and Redbox and on demand, I'm assuming, within the next 3 or 4 months. So if you didn't catch it in the theater, you can catch it then. It's Independence Day. It's going to be coming up. It'll be something that you have to take a look at. You just go and try to find that, kind of like finding Where's Waldo. Just keep an eye out for Sam. He plays a radar operator in that movie as well. And if you're a fan of Better Call Saul, you've probably seen him there as well. We have a few minutes left. I'm going to let you know what's going on. We're booked for the next couple of weeks. There's 1 week in March that I won't be able to do a show because I'll be traveling. But next week we have a great plastic surgeon on. His name will be, let's see here, David, let's see here, give me a second here, I'll pop it up real quick. Next week we're going to have Bebek, Dadvon, I believe is how his name is pronounced. I will definitely check that out when I get closer to time. And we're talking a little bit about a man getting breast reduction surgery. It's going to be interesting to talk a little bit about the men's end of getting plastic surgery. This guy is a really good a really great doctor out of Los Angeles. So we're going to be talking to him a little bit about that going on coming up next week. The week after, we have a really cool doctor. An advice columnist coming on the show. Get her name real quick. Allison. This thing will pop up. Allison Blackman Durnham from the Advice Sisters will be on in 2 weeks, and we'll talk to her a little bit about marital advice. Relationship advice, et cetera. I wanted to get her on during Valentine's week, but she was not available, so we went ahead and booked her for 2 weeks from today. And then we have Sean Pulaski, who is set for March the 15th, I believe. We're going to be talking to her a little bit about her new movie, Try. Also, we're going to be talking to her a little bit about, a bunch of stuff, because she's one of our favorite comedians, and we haven't had her on in a while. So we'll have Sean on March 15th. So going to be a pretty busy couple weeks, and we'll be booked pretty much solid through March with that one week that we won't have a show, because like I said, it'll be in transit. But definitely check that out. And there's a lot of stuff going on that I'll hopefully have in the next couple weeks to let you guys know what's going on. We may be part of a big film festival in Los Angeles, and more information about that will happen next month, hopefully. So please go to our Facebook page, Somewhere in Vegas, and our Twitter page, @SWIV. That's @SWIV. Of course, that stands for Somewhere in Vegas. I got to update VegasPodcasting.com. It'll be something that I'll have to do next week to try to catch up on some of these shows. So with that in mind, we'll see you guys next week with Dr. Babak. And talking a little bit about male plastic surgery. Until then, we'll talk to you guys next week, Wednesday, 1 p.m. Pacific.